Hey, you guys, welcome to a new week of Boiling Point, Faith and Fire, the podcast where we don't whisper truth, we are shouting it from the rooftops. I am Brandon Lynette, joined by my brother in the battle, Rory. You guys, we have a new show for you today because we're just going to kind of pause the brakes on the political headlines, and just kind of bring this back to Jesus. I think that is the core foundation of for where we're speaking from when it comes to politics and policies, like the things that align most with Christ. So it's not necessarily like I'm a Republican and that's black and white. I mean, 20 years ago, I believe I would have been more on the Democrat side politically if I'm following that alignment with core values, ethics. The world is screaming in chaos, and I just want to refocus on the voice that matters and call out some of the lies. If you guys read John 8, I don't know, just start John 8, okay? Read through it because this is where Jesus is talking about the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks of his own character, for he is a lie and he's a father of that lie. So I kind of want to take the mask off one of his favorite cons. And I put up a post. If you guys are not following my social media, you need to follow me on Facebook because I put up this post. Actually, it took me about an hour to write it out, but it is calling out the lie. And this is the devil's favorite con, is that just be a good person and that's enough to get to heaven. And that is a very sweet sounding poison. Probably, I mean, it's beautiful and it sounds good. And it flows through the veins of anybody who can stand on this left side of politics. But if you swallow that lie, you're going to wake up with good deeds burning around your neck. So, check the show notes today. Get informed. Make sure you are following Rory. He is get resourced. Okay. Follow him because if we can have a podcast, anybody can have a podcast, and he's going to help you with that. But good morning, Rory. We
Good morning,
changed gears
Brandon.
on this episode today. Hello.
I love it. I really do. When I saw your post, I DM'd you immediately. I was like, "This is awesome. I
Yeah.
love this." And we pretty much immediately agreed we got to do a post on or an episode on this and get back to our roots, you know.
Right.
And I love that. So I'm all
Right.
in for this today, 100%.
I tried to find it because I was going to try to just kind of read it off of here. And I don't know. Oh, I did find it. Yeah, so basically it really is I'm just talking about the people that have let their kindness kind of become what they hide behind. So especially in my conversation with a lot of people on the left, they feel like, you know, that we could go through literally every topic. But a lot of people are missing the calling to be obedient to Jesus. Like, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. It's very simple. And love with Christ, it's not a feeling. It's submission. It is that obedience. It's the commitment. It's the discipline. I started reading the Bible January 1st of 2024. I've read it before throughout my life, but never like, I don't know. Something changed. And I read it last year. And you guys, I just want to make this very clear. Every day that I read it, I didn't feel anything. I was just like, oh, I'm just reading words. And sometimes it was boring. And sometimes I was like, this can't be real. And I went through a lot. And that first year, I'm telling you, it was just words on the page. And I felt like I was just going through the motion of like kind of a fake relationship. Fast forward to this year when I started rereading it. Like the words came to life. I don't know how else to explain it. They jumped off the page and they wrapped me up. And like that was a huge shift for me. This is our guidebook to life. These words are life. He says that. He says it a lot. The words are life. It came to life for me. So if you're kind of in this weird feeling with your relationship with Christ, I'm telling you to stay obedient. Stay obedient.
Yeah, very well said. Very well said. Obedience is not even talked about by your average person on the street. They just don't really understand that part of it. This part about how dangerous it is that you just feel like you're being a good person and that should be plenty, is incredibly dangerous. It really, really is. And I think that's where we start to get into the idea of, are you really and truly a Christian? Or are you someone who just, lives a, a Christian-like existence, in order to kind of feel good when it's convenient? And, I think most of us fall into the latter category unless we're really serious about what it is we're looking at and what we're doing. So I thought you brought up just an interesting, a wonderful point with everything that you said in here. It's a long post, so I mean, I don't know if you want to like read it or read parts of it or how you want to do that, but it's important to point out to folks.
And I feel like there are so many, people that cherry pick Bible verses and try to hide behind what it is to be good. And going to church is not enough. It's just not enough. I don't even know if it's a requirement, because at the end of the day, I feel like what I've read loud and clear is that we are the church. Should we gather with people that are like-minded? Absolutely. But the devil is a liar. His native language is deception. Relax. You're a good person. You recycle. You tip 20%. You go to church. You don't kick puppies. Welcome to heaven. That is such a lie. Goodness does not open the gates. It is literally only the blood of Jesus. That is it. Your best day is filthy rags before a holy God. You understand that? You could go feed every orphan. You can hug every tree and you can still hear Jesus say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." I need you guys to understand this, because I thought this for so long. I'm like, Mother Teresa isn't going to go to hell just because she's Catholic, which I don't really know her thing, but in as I was growing up, like, Catholics were bad. Okay, that's kind of what I was taught, right? Oh my God, Mother Teresa. And it kind of opened my eyes to, like, you can be a good person and you can help orphans and still go to hell. Because if Jesus doesn't know you, and this is the whole point. I mean, we talk about life and we talk about abortion. You guys, you cannot tell me you're a Christian and justify this. That is a devil's lie, because God knits life in the womb. We are told you shall not murder. He knew us before he formed us in the womb. That's real. You cannot celebrate abortion, whether it's 2 weeks in or at birth. You cannot support Planned Parenthood. Science and scripture prove life begins at conception. Voting to protect unborn babies, that's obedience. Is it going to rile feathers? Do you care? Do you care what people think of you? Do you care that everyone at church is going to look at you like you're crazy because of what you believe? Because you know that at the end of the day, it's not about the world accepting us. I don't care how many haters I have. When I get to Jesus, I want him to be like, "Wow, you really stepped into your potential, and that was pretty scary. You took a stand against a lot of things, and you took a lot of hate, and you still, at the end of the day, our message is very clear. For whatever reason you're listening to the Boiling Point Faith and Fire, at the end of the day, Jesus is king. Doesn't matter. No man is going to save us. You understand? We can agree and disagree with politics all we want to. We're blue in the face, but this is about Jesus. Don't argue with me about open borders. The devil's lie. Walls are hateful. Chaos is kindness. You know, God drew national boundaries. He commands rulers to punish evil. You think trafficking kids across the border isn't compassion? Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Good person? Not if you're enabling cartels. He literally determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. Governing authorities are God's servants to punish evil. Nehemiah rebuilt walls to protect God's people. It's lawless. Nations should have order. And charity starts at home. Take care of your poor within your land. Those are words that are written in the guidebook to life. Take care of people in your land. We help the world after we secure our own. I could go, I mean, I can go on about everything. And the post I wrote, I did find it. It is long. It is really long, but this is it. And I, when I wrote this, obviously, like, I do get angry and I do get pissed off and I do feel a lot of hate towards people that are just being ignorant to the things that they defend. Because we are called to hate evil, in case you're like, oh my God, you can't be a Christian and hate people. Satan is disgusted by most of everything in this world. He's disgusted with the drug addict that he took their soul. He's disgusted with the politician that he bought and paid for. And he's not against you being a bad person. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. He doesn't have to fight for you anymore. What he is against at the end of the day, and this is my post to you guys, what he's really against is you following Jesus. And I know that sounds weird, but I want you to think about it. Like, he doesn't lose sleep over you being nice to your neighbors or volunteering on the weekends. And he's totally fine with you being the kind of person that everyone thinks is great. What keeps him up at night is you surrendering your life to Christ. And I see people fall into this. I know, because I've been in this trap. Like, we've gotten it in our heads that being a good person and being a good Christian are the same things. Like, check enough boxes, be kind, don't lie, help people when you can. You're good with God. And if you're calling yourself a Christian, I mean, that's icing on the cake. You pray daily, you show up at church once a week, and it really is not how it works. I reading the Bible, I don't know if you guys know the story about the Pharisees. These guys had their shit together. Like, they knew scripture backwards and forwards. They could own me all day long. Followed every single rule, looked perfect from the outside. And Jesus told them they were missing the whole point. And the girls and I even reread it the other day because I was like, man, I remember this. It's actually happening again where we're currently reading. So Pharisees weren't the only ones guilty of this. But it wasn't that they weren't moral enough, it's that their morality had become a substitute for actually knowing God. They worshiped their morality, it put them on a high ground. And this is what Satan is really good at, convincing people that they don't need saving because they're already good enough. And you think about all the genuinely good people you know, because we all know a lot of genuinely good people who want nothing to do with Jesus. They do incredible charity work, but they don't need saved. You have a spiritually minded friend who finds peace in everything except real Christianity. The churchgoer who's there every Sunday but never actually has given their heart to Christ. Not the obedient Bible reading discernment called to stand for truth kind of way. It's just words. He says it. So many of you guys are going to say, you know me. And everyone's just counting on their goodness to be enough. You think that being silent is holy, and you think because you're good, it's not your business when people are bad. You're killing yourself on a moral high ground because you're good and accepting of all. You think that morality thinks it doesn't matter if they support what's wrong and what's evil. And God made it very clear, being a good person is not enough. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And the hardest part to accept is that you can live what looks like a perfect life and still be completely lost because morality was never the point. A relationship with Jesus was always the point. And the devil wants you to believe that you can earn your spot in heaven. Satan doesn't need you to be a terrible person. He just needs to keep you distracted from the thing that actually matters, and that's accepting what Christ did for you. If he has you focused in how good you are compared to other people, and how many times do you justify that? Well, I'm a Democrat, but I'm not out burning signs. I'm not out calling for murder. I'm not celebrating Charlie Kirk's death. How many religious activities you participate in? You think that gets you some status? How well you avoid the really bad sins? How tolerant and accepting and silent you are to the atrocities around you because you say you're like Jesus, I think you missed the part where he called people to change. And he called peers to hold peers accountable to change. You are distracted behind your own veil of morals. And he's won because you trust yourself instead of trusting Jesus. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The thief who turned to Jesus in the final moments, saved. The woman caught in adultery who received grace from Christ, saved. The moral person who thinks they're fine without Jesus, dead. Lost. And that's what makes this dangerous, because you could go through life thinking you're on the right track because you're a good person and completely miss what salvation actually requires. So I say stop putting confidence in your own goodness and start putting it in Jesus. Your resume of good deeds won't save you. Your track record of avoiding major sins won't redeem you. Your silence when it comes to representing the truth in the Bible is complicit with evil. And your reputation, what you call a decent person, does not make you right with God. Only Jesus does that. And everything else is just noise. That was the post. That's it.
That was awesome. And there's a lot more to the post. So, dare I say, you may want to repost that post.
Yeah.
So that people can see it at the top of their feeds again. For anybody who listens to this over the next couple of days, I would repost that once or twice so that people can find it. And maybe even just forward it and put something on top that says, if you listen to Boiling Point,
right,
read this again type of thing.
Right.
It's amazing to see you when you get going like that. It really is. I mean, I end up sitting over here just being proud of everything. I'm just like, man, look at her go.
Yeah.
But that was an amazing post, and it said a ton that needed to be said.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad that you're hammering on it a
right.
little bit.
Well, I think it's not talked about enough, and I run into this on every conversation, and it is triggering to me because I feel desperate. Like, we have to tell everybody that it's not enough. Every good person I meet and shake their hand, like, I pray every day, like, God, give me the confidence to like stand up and hurt their feelings. Cause that's what it is. Like, I'm going to see them crumble, or their anger when they look at me and think, who are you? And the truth is, who am I? Who am I? I'm a peer that's going to call you out. Not a perfect one, but I know that being a good person is not enough. You guys know we're all disgusting and unworthy. I don't care who we're all just filth. None of us are okay. And if you can't get through that blood of Christ, you don't make it in the gates. I that's a scary thought to me. It's a
There's
scary
a lot of,
thought.
A lot of backup to this, though. I don't think you can have a conversation anymore with someone who is not a Christian, or maybe who was and has maybe strayed or is questioning, or they don't look at things and go, well, look, here's this person over here who has no faith. They don't practice any kind of faith at all. And they just have this easy life. Everything's going well for them.
Yeah.
And, every time I try to get into my faith and, really start to be more obedient to what Jesus is calling me to do, well, then I have all these obstacles come up and these bad things happen and so on.
Right.
And that's to be expected, because again,
right.
that's the devil acting out on what you're saying right here in this post. The devil, if you are someone who does not believe in Jesus, who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, the last thing in the world he wants to do is give you a reason to go find a relationship with Jesus.
Correct.
He's going to do everything he can, not only to, give you easy things, but he's also going to take obstacles out of your path so that you don't have to deal with really hard things. You don't have to worry about obedience. Because then you may go looking for Jesus. If you're fat and happy and sitting on the side of the road, he wants you to stay fat and happy sitting on the side of the road, out of the fight. That's in his best interest. And that's why he puts the obstacles in our paths. Because, having that relationship with Jesus is about sacrifice. It's about facing the hardships. And it's about being obedient. And the last thing I'll say on that is that obedient has kind of a double meaning for folks. I think there's a lot of people who say, well, I'm going to be obedient and I'm just going to sit here with my head down and I'm going to be, silent. That's not the obedience that God's calling for you. Okay. There is nowhere in the Bible anywhere where he says, be obedient and let your family be hurt. Let someone turn you from the gospel. Let someone tell you not to have a relationship with me. That's not in there. What he's calling you to do is to be obedient to the calling, to having that relationship, to making the sacrifice, to going out there and fighting the fight so that you can have the relationship with him in the face of the hate and being unpopular and, having certain people say, well, you're just crazy, or something like that. You believe in something that's not real. All of these other things. We face a lot as Christians. When we get in there and when we make that commitment, and obedience is gigantic, absolutely a gigantic piece of that. So I'm glad that you keep bringing that up and that you're pushing that today.
Yeah. Well, and really, okay, what's the worst thing that happens to me? I've got people in my inbox name calling. I've been called an abomination. Just if you physically see me, tattoos, mouthy, abrasive. Okay, I don't come quietly, right? I come in yelling. Like it's there's all of these things to me. Worst things. People are calling me names. I get blocked. If I was in Nigeria, I'd be dead. Like those Christians are dying. So you're going to tell me in America, you're going to cling to your safety, your security by staying silent. And I'm telling you, call yourself out first. Like you call yourself out. And no, I, never, ever, ever would I ever be someone to judge anybody. So this is not judgment when I tell you, like, this isn't Christianity. It is not judgment. We are called to a peer review. And I'm called to tell you the truth. We're called to tell each other the truth. And that silence is complicity. That whole time when things like gay marriage came up and became an issue, we all just sat back and we're like, well, let them do what they're going to do. When we should have said, listen, male and female, he created them. A man shall leave his mother and father and hold fast to his wife. Gender distinction is a command, man and woman. We should have been honest with our friends. And I am now. I love people. And whatever you choose to do on your own time, I could say nothing for it, but I can tell you this isn't the life that God called you to. These aren't the decisions that God called you to. Can I still love them? I'm having breakfast with one of my friends who is gay, and we've had this conversation and we're going to meet in person because I love him. I love him, but I can't choose for him, and I'm not going to judge him, but I will tell him the truth. We cannot stay silent and complicit when people are making choices that we know go against what we're called to do. The Ten Commandments are very simple and they're easy to follow. And everything else just grows us every single day. I would like to hope that a year from now, I'm a way better Christian than I am now, right? That I get this, like that it doesn't always just feel like I'm going through the motions. I don't even know for myself. Do I know for myself that Jesus is going to know me? No, which is why I'm frantic to be like, okay, I have to tell everybody about him because if I'm that one that people are like, yeah, Brandon told me. Yeah, Brandon told me. I'm here because of Brandon. Then maybe when I get there, he'll be like, wow, I did hear some people talking about you. You really stepped into your potential. Let me check your books. Right? Like, let's tell people the truth, you guys, because that is going to matter. It's we've signed off on a lot of terrible things, and our silence. We're going to be judged for that. So no, when you're telling your friends the truth, it's not hateful. It's love. Like truth is love. And it is like that thing, like Rory is saying, you know, the ways that the devil get us, and definitely anybody who knows me will always know my biggest weakness is my family. And when I get on a roll, when I get on a roll and I find my voice and I start speaking God's truth, I am telling you, real life, like the attacks happen inside my family because that guts me. Like even this morning, you know, 3 weeks ago, I was literally on my knees, just desperate for things to change inside my family. I'm talking about me, my husband, and my six kids, like here. And today, another huge situation. And I promise you know what I wanted to do today? Cancel on Rory. Because I'm literally last minute on a text message. I know the repercussions of decisions I'm making today for my family are going to come at me very hard. I wanted to crawl away and not do this episode. That would make the devil happy. because there's one person listening right now that needed to hear this. I know you needed to hear this. I know this is making sense to you. I know you're feeling empowered. I know you're going to leave this and pump someone else up and be like, you have to listen to this episode because I can't make sense of this, but it makes so much sense the way they said this. You need to hear this. So we're called to show up no matter what's happening. And right now, I feel like if you guys could see an image of my family, like it's on fire and I'm sitting here still talking about Jesus. That's how I feel right now. That torn feeling of like, ugh, inside all of my feelings. I am devastated. I'm sick. I'm on the brink of tears. The devil is not out here making people who are quiet uncomfortable. And I would rather have this because what do I know to be true? God won the battle. No matter what happens right now, how I'm feeling, what is the truth? God has me. God has us. This is temporary. And I'm going to get through that. So it's worth it. It's worth it. Every road bump just brings me closer to Christ. Because, you know, even now in this moment, like I am clinging to him. Because he knows everything that's going on, everything I can't say right now. And he's like, wow, you're still up here talking. Those are the things that empower me to think the girl's got a chance, that he's going to know who I am. Because in that moment, in those moments that test you, in those moments that refine you, this is what really defines your relationship with Christ, is that can you feel the way you feel when things are happening and still come out here and have a voice and speak the truth. It's how it works, kids.
It's tough. It's tough. People think that Christianity and that Jesus are an easy button. I think we've both said that, you know, yeah, in some capacity. They think that once I give my life to Jesus, that I'm going to, you know, all of a sudden then I qualify. I qualify for the good life and I'm going to be able to get my new membership card to the VIP lounge, you know, and everything's going to be nice and easy for me. And that's not it. That's just not it. The world is set up right now in a way that it hasn't been in decades. There hasn't been this much anti-Christian sentiment my entire time on this planet. And that's a lot. I've been around for more than a half century, so that's a lot. But Christianity's never been persecuted the way it is today. And so people are more afraid than ever to stand up and say what they think and what they believe in. But, you know, that goes to the rest of your life and the rest of your behavior. We're not talking politics today, but there's a connection. And that is that if you go out and you commit these atrocities, you go out and you take someone's life, or you go out and you traffic a child, or you go out and you commit a crime, then certainly you should suffer the consequences and you cannot call yourself a Christian if that's the case. By the same token, if you empower someone else to do those things, if you empower someone to take a position where they are going to knowingly allow these things to take place, you are complicit. You absolutely are just as much to blame as they are, because you knew what they were going to do and you put them in the power position to do it. You're just as guilty as they are. And so I'm with you. I've kind of had my fill of the folks who were saying, well, you know, I'm a Christian, but you're already disqualified. Well, I'm a Christian, but whatever the excuse is not a sentence that God is going to accept. And that he's going to let go when you meet him later on. It's, I'm a Christian, period.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some requirements that come along with that. So again, love the post, because I think you laid it out really, really well. You have to qualify for this. You can't just say I'm a Christian and then, you know, grab the membership card off the desk. You have to actually play the part. You actually have to do what needs to be done, and believe what needs to be believed, you know, and follow what you're told to do. You have to be that kind of obedient if you want to qualify for that.
And your only thing you're losing is the world. You're losing the popularity. You're losing that sense of belonging. None of that is real. None of it's substantial. Niceness is not salvation.
Isn't that an interesting phenomenon too? That we feel like we have to give up what we believe in. We have to go against what we know is right in order to belong. If you feel that way, if you feel like, well, hey, I just really can't talk about what I believe. I believe in it, but I really can't talk about it. Well, then do you actually believe in it? If you truly believe in Christian principles, if you actually believe in the Ten Commandments, if you believe that Jesus is our Savior, if you believe that having a relationship with, Jesus is the way to heaven, well, then you know what? If you're going to be a believer, be a good one. It just doesn't work halfway. It's not something that's available part-time. You're either all in or you're not. And if you have to give up everything that you believe in on that kind of a level in order to fit in with a group of people, why in the world do you want to fit in with that group of people? That you've got to question yourself at that point. So
And
I,
if you
yeah.
sit in the idea of your core ethics and your core values, like if you really, really sit with that, you just cut out all the noise. 'Cause I've been doing this. This is part of like my growth. And Jesus calls us to change. Come to me, you're called to change. He doesn't tell, the prostitute, "Hey, I'm going to save you. Go keep sleeping around." She was called to change. And we all had things that we had to look at inside of ourselves to be called to change. Part of my change was using my voice. I gave you a mouth, you love to talk, now use it for the right things. Called to change, but sit with your core ethics and values. I was that person that thought I had to be okay with everyone being included. Everybody gets a chance. He wrote that book for all of us. He sacrificed his son for all of us. Only a few are getting in, you guys. He sit with your core ethics, your core values, and you get to decide, like, does this feel good? Does this align with me? And every time when I am talking to someone about their potential, because I feel like I am that potential pusher, you just sitting back and doing nothing, like if you don't have any discomfort in your life right now, you're doing it wrong. You are doing it wrong. There should be something in your life that brings a level of discomfort. Otherwise, you're stagnant and you're going to die with regret. And when you die with regret, you die forever because you will be facing judgment on a God who is going to uphold everything he wrote. And he's going to say, "I wrote it. You heard Brandon and Rory's podcast. You knew this. You sat with your core ethics and values and you ignored them." It's very simple. Stop claiming Christianity if you can't sit with your core ethics and values and line them up to every single thing that he says and does in the Bible. If you cannot line that up, it's very simple. But the devil wants us to see a lot of fake Christians because as long as there's more of them than the Brandons and the Rorys that are going to call you out, as long as there are more of these fake Christians, the more people realize that they can have one foot in and one foot out at all times. And the devil wants you self-satisfied in your goodness. Because if that's the case, you're never going to fall broken at the cross. And this is what I mean, that discomfort. I fall broken at that cross probably once a week. Once a week, you guys. And life is never going to stop happening. So it's not like, oh, I fell at the cross last week. I just need some time to shut everything out. I can't post on social media anymore. I can't use my platform. I can't use my voice because I am fallen at the cross. I am broken. It is that faith of like, I keep putting one foot in front of the other. This is so uncomfortable. This is so uncomfortable. Because while it's not physical bones that are breaking, there are little pieces of my soul that are under attack. And I walk through those steps and I have to face my own demons every single day to fight that voice. Because I promise you, that argument in your head, the devil wants me to think that I don't have enough to stand here. He wants me to think, just be quiet, go be a good person and hide under the covers because the boogeyman is scary and you're safer here. Don't rock the boat. Don't make waves. Don't get uncomfortable.
Yes.
That's not what we're called to. I want you guys uncomfortable. I want you honest with yourselves. You cannot sit with core ethics and values and be okay with what's going on in the world today. And ultimately, I think it's in you. I think it's in you to get uncomfortable. Because wherever you're not strong, because this is not me. Brandon, 10 years ago, Brandon would tell you, I've done this all by myself my whole life. I emancipated at 15 and I've been kicking ass and taking names and it's all me, 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 me. I've got here by myself without anybody. I did this 10 years ago. You asked Brandon last year when she started reading the Bible and I'm like, wow, I haven't done anything. I'll never be strong enough to get through all of this. I will never be strong enough to keep using my voice. I will never be enough. The only reason I can show up every single day is because I give that weight to Jesus. I'm like, wake up in the morning first thing. Like, this is too heavy. Like, this is too heavy. I need you to take this. And that makes the devil very angry because I did that this morning. I'm like, okay, yesterday was heavy. I can't take this. Here, boom. Devil's like, Brandon, I'm not playing with you. I get a text message. We're supposed to start recording at 11:30 today. I get a text message at 11:10. All that weight back in my lap before I have to show up and speak. It is not me today. I am not enough. So I'm telling you, no matter how scary it is, like, you are not alone. When you go against everything you've stood for because your core ethics and values don't line up, you are not alone. Jesus will carry you through these things. And that's it. It is that knowing of, like, he won the battle. This is nothing. This is nothing. This is of the world. He won the battle. Keep holding the line. Keep holding the line. That means we are called to stand up for what is right. We are called to tell each other the truth. We are called to hold each other accountable in the truth. Very simple. If you can't align your core ethics and values with the Ten Commandments, if you can't align your core ethics and values with everything that is written in this book, it's not for you. It's not for you. And tell people the truth. I thought I was a Christian, but really I don't align with it. Very simple. And if you're a Christian, you're going to start making choices. And it's going to hurt a little. Let it.
Amen. Very well said. Very well said. And, you know, everybody doesn't have to be a Christian. I mean, nope. you can be a good person, you know, and not be a Christian. That's fine. I mean, if that's how you want to run your life, there's no skin off my back. You know, I'm happy to help you if you want.
But you guys are so dumb. Like, we do care. Do you have any idea? Like, no matter how much I say I could be tested, do you know how much it means to me to wake up and know I am covered? Like, to know that no matter what happens, I'm going to be safe. There is no love like the love of God when you decide to surrender. Like, there is nothing in the world. My husband can't love me enough. My kids will never love me enough. The world is never going to love me enough. There is no real love unless you give your life to Christ. I'm telling you, like, it is worth it. So don't be dumb. It is there. Please, please call yourself out. Just call yourself out. And it's a process, I promise. Like I said, like, that first year, it just felt like going through the motions of just is questioning everything. And then reality hits. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. And that's, I want you guys to know how loved you are. Like, it is, I want you to read the Bible. There is no love like this. And you stop looking for it in other places. Like, someday you wake up and you're just enough because you have Jesus. You're enough, and you don't have to do things to sell your soul. You don't have to do things to try to fill whole. You don't need the sex and the drugs and you don't need anything because you are whole and you're complete and you are loved, and you feel that is a powerful feeling. And for someone like Brandon Lynette, who never had anybody in her corner, who always wanted people to love her, at the end of the day, no human, that human love is never going to be enough. It's never going to satiate you. That's why people are going crazy and doing wild things just to fill the hole. And there's not a void. It's not even a void. I'll tell you that right now. It's not a void. It's just this little light inside of all of us that if you just start breaking open the seal and start letting that light shine, it's from the inside out. All of that, the self-acceptance, the love, the forgiveness, like the self-forgiveness. The devil wants me to think anything that happens with my family and my kids is because of the mistakes I made as a mom. He wants me to dwell on that. That's my battle, you guys. My biggest accomplishment is that I'm a good mom. And I messed up bad. I made some really bad mistakes. And he takes those and he makes sure that I see that. Like, you screwed up and that's why this is happening. You screwed up and now you're paying the price for this. Like, he wants me to just let that be all encompassing. I'm a good mom because I called myself to change. I'm a good Christian because I call myself to change. You can't stay where you are and keep doing the same things you're doing. We are called to growth. Nothing in your life should be the same in the next year. Nothing in your life should be the same ever. We are called to change. And don't give, I hate giving people power. I don't want the devil to win. That's annoying to me. That's giving him power. If I cave to this, and he's just loving your self-satisfaction. He's loving that you're proud because you volunteer at the food bank and on Saturday and then Tuesdays, you know, you vote for baby killing. He's happy because you're not repenting. I think there is an entrance exam into heaven, and I think it's going to say, what did you do with Jesus? It's not going to be like, how nice were you? How progressive were you? Did you bow the knee or bow to the culture? It's simple. No.
Yeah.
What did you do with Jesus for Jesus?
I think you're right. Definitely.
I love you guys. I love you guys. It is a choice. It is a choice. And I know how much God loves you. And I'm just asking you to give him a shot to see that. Like, give him a shot. All in. Just drop all the guards, go all in. Because I, this is one thing that I can promise you. He will never let you fall when you surrender to him. You are 100% taken care of for life. If you surrender and you're willing to be obedient. I didn't say you're not going to be hurt. Because our whole human experience, we came here for a human experience. You can't know love without pain. It is all a part of this great experience. We wanted to feel all the feelings. We came here knowing, ooh, this isn't always going to feel good. It's not always going to feel good. Life never stops happening. But I promise if you could just find him and you can wrap yourself in that love and you can just let the words of the Bible envelop you, like, you're going to be okay. And if you're not a Christian, cool. Like, I know it's not for everybody, but for you, like, I know you're questioning this. I want you to get it. I want you to understand this. And it's serious, like life or death serious. All these people, like, what's, humans are afraid of dying. You spend your whole life of being afraid to die. We're humans. Our souls are energy. Energy never dies. It never dies. So it's about that decision for what happens next. If you really don't want to die, then Jesus is the way you live.
Nice.
I don't know. We could talk about this all day, you guys. I know. It's not we. I've been yapping a lot.
You've been on fire today. Honestly, it's been great just to sort of be here with you and experience the fire that you're putting out there today.
Yeah.
So anybody who's listening to this knows how aggressively you believe what you believe. And I think that you need that if you're going to wake some people up and change some minds, you know? So I applaud you for taking the lead and doing that for people today, because I think folks need that.
Thank you.
So, anything else you want to do before I close this out?
No, I think
Think you
I've
got
said
it all
it.
out?
Yeah, I think it's all out. It is all out.
I appreciate everything that you did today. I really do. And it started with writing that post. And these are not easy things to do. You have to be called to do these things. You have to really put in the work to do these things. And in a short closeout, I just want to kind of share a little bit about my story, and just bring up a couple of quick points. It's very, very important that you take politics out of it every once in a while. We need to deal with politics because it does sort of impact how we live. But if you're confused about any of this, if you feel like you're, on the left, but you want to be a Christian and you're not sure, what's right, where to draw the line, take the politics out of it and simply look at your faith just for a minute. And I want you to accept two things. The first is that it's never too late. So it doesn't matter what happened to you in the past. It doesn't matter if you really lived a rough non-Christian existence. You don't have to pay the price for that necessarily to be saved, to accept Jesus. You simply have to change. You have to decide today, I'm going to be different. And you move forward. And God is forgiving in that way, as long as you're willing to do what needs to be done. And the other thing is that it's okay if it takes a minute. If you're thinking about it and you're really working through it and you're asking questions, it is okay if it takes a minute. For a very long time, I had a very rough relationship with God myself. And I questioned this and I questioned that and I didn't believe this and I was angry about that. And as I look back, it's like the footprints in the sand analogy. I felt like he was not with me most of my life and I resented him for that. And it wasn't until, a little over a year ago when I should have died and then looked back and looked at all the other times I probably should have died, that I realized that during those really rough times, there was only one set of footprints because he was carrying me and he was there, even though I didn't know it. And so what I had to do was I had to open up my heart just the smallest bit to let in some of that light. What Brandon and I are doing here on this podcast, guys, we're not trying to convert people. We're trying to get you to open up just enough to let that light come in. That's where Jesus comes in. Just open it up enough to have the conversation with Jesus. That's it. You do that, and then you can make your decision. It's kind of like get your facts. You can't make a decision about anything without looking it up, without looking into it, without talking to somebody. Go straight to the horse's mouth. Open up your heart just a touch. Let some of that light in and see how it feels and see if it fits and let Jesus do the work. I don't think you'll be unhappy with the results. I know that when I finally did it, it changed my entire life. But you're not going to know how great that feels. What Brandon was talking about earlier, what I'm talking about right now, you're not going to know how that actually feels until you let a little bit of it in. So it's never too late. It's okay to take a minute, but do it. Unclench that fist and take a chance. What have you got to lose? And that's it.
Well said. Well said. We'll be back to our regularly scheduled program with you guys on Thursday. So thanks for tuning in today. We appreciate you sharing this out with anyone and everyone. Please, we appreciate that. You know people that we can't get to, and it's just part of that. Let that be the first little glimmer of doing the Lord's work, okay? Is that you can reach people that we literally can't. So please share the episode out and we'll see you Thursday. Love you guys.